Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Looks like got a few more back from spring break. Everybody's getting a fresh start and ready to start the week. Last Sunday and really over the past several weeks, I think we began to notice, and last Sunday we looked at we're not in control, but how that's something that really drives all of us, that we want to be in control. We don't like it when we're out of control, or we don't have control over a certain issue or area of our life. We want that control. And we see this even clearly as we talked about looking back at Abram and Sarai, and then even Jacob and Rachel. We looked at Joseph and his brothers. You know, his brothers wanted control of the situation. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at how even the Hebrew midwives were wanting control. Now, obviously, for a good reason. They wanted to protect the baby boys, but they wanted to control that situation. One person we really didn't talk about control much is Pharaoh himself, because Pharaoh obviously wanted control over the Israelite people. They're getting too numerous, so he's going to control the situation by having the Hebrew boys that are born thrown into the Nile River. And so he wants that control. And I mean, it's just natural for us to want that. So that's kind of where we have been so far in Exodus. Today we're going to look at actually chapter 3 and most of chapter 4. So I figure we'll be finished sometime this evening. Is that all right with everybody? I mean, we have a lot of ground to cover this morning, and I'm going to try to be pretty quick with that. But that's where we are. Last week we ended with chapter 2, and the Israelites are crying out to God because they're under this harsh slavery. And, you know, we're told they're being worked ruthlessly. And so they're enslaved, and they're crying out to God, and we're told at the very end of chapter 2 that God saw the people of Israel and he knew. And so we talked about that whole idea of how even in when we find ourselves in struggles and situations that we seem to be out of control, who sees and knows? God does. And so we're not there left alone. And so now he sees, he hears the Israelites' people, that he hears their cry, and he sees and knows. And that's where we pick up with chapter 3 today. So if you brought your Bible and want to follow along, that's great. It's always sometimes good to have a physical writing in front of you. I know some people use their phones, and that's okay, but I always like a paper copy in front of me, although I am using my phone to read more things these days. But so chapter 3, the first few verses there. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So here we have what I was talking with the kids about. This bush is on fire. It's not being consumed. It catches Moses' attention. Now, I didn't bring us up to speed, but if you remember Moses, last week we talked about how he fled Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian that was fighting one of his own people. And then some other people saw it, and he realized that more people know about it than what he thought. So he flees from Pharaoh because he wants to kill him when word reaches Pharaoh. And so he's out, he goes to Midian, and Jethro, his daughters were watering, and some people tried to come up and run them off, and Moses steps in and rescues them. And so he's invited to Jethro's house, and he marries one of his daughters, Zipporah. And so now he's out by Mount Horeb, which, by the way, Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai are typically interchangeable in the Old Testament. So that's something to tuck in the back of our mind. But what's interesting here, my version says, verse 3, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange thing. The word in Hebrew there is amar, which is usually translated said or answered. And so for those of you who talk to yourself, you're in good company, because Moses talked to himself here. He said, it really should say, Moses said. So you almost get the sense here he's speaking out loud. I will go over there and see this strange sight. So when you catch yourself at the office or at work or at home talking to yourself, think of Moses. You're in good company, okay? All right, verse 4 and following. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, here we get the idea, especially here at the end, he's afraid to look at God. We see this quite often. I think Elijah covered his face. Moses will cover his face again in the presence of God. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, I wish I could see God. Well, we don't want to see God, because it's really not a good thing until we get to heaven. It was basically a deadly thing to be almost in the presence of God. And we get this here where Moses hides his face here from God. And so Moses, this call from this bush comes to Moses, and Moses says, here I am, but he doesn't know exactly what all that means right at the moment. Verse 7, I know we're doing a lot of reading here, but we want to kind of know the story too. It's a pretty familiar story, but there are some details that we sometimes don't catch. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Budlites, and Kurzites. Oh, I got your attention, didn't I? Does your Bible say that? I forgot this is being recorded for the radio. I may have to edit that. I got your attention, though, didn't I? We had a professor that would do that a lot of times. And so all those people, you know, out there. Now can I get you back on track or not? And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So here's this call on Moses' life. I mean, God is calling him to go back to Egypt to bring his people out. Now, Moses' response, verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? So Moses' initial reaction, I think, is our reaction a lot of times when God says, I want you to go. I want you to tell people about who I am and what I've done for you. Our initial reaction is, who am I? Who am I that I would be capable of even doing that? And so God's response then in verse 12, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. I want you to notice something here. When Moses responds, who am I? God doesn't say, okay, little buddy, you're going to be all right. Everything, you're cool. You'll be able to do this. Come on, just pick up your shoes and go. He doesn't say that. You know, like we try to pamper kids today. What does he say? Pretty much says, no, go. But I am with you. I mean, he doesn't try to pamper him and say, it's going to be okay. In fact, we're going to see in a little bit that it's not going to be okay. One other thing in this verse here, you probably didn't catch that by just reading it, but there's one word that's used five times. It's you. Now, I know this is a little bit of a grammar thing, but and I'm not always real good at grammar, but and you'll see that even come true right here. But it says, I will be with you, singular, Moses, and this will be the sign to you, singular, Moses, that it is I who have sent you, singular, Moses. When you, singular, Moses, have brought the people out of Egypt, you, plural. So, Texan, we would say, y'all. Okay? So the people out of Egypt, y'all, will worship God on this mountain. Already pointing forward to the time. So what's going to happen here? This mountain that Moses is on, that he sees this burning bush here, when they come out of Egypt, they're going to be back on what? This mountain that he's on, where he's called from, with numerous, I mean, up there's estimation up to 2 million people, that's the y'all that's going to be here worshiping. That's going to be your sign. Now, sometimes what do we want? We want a sign before something happens, right? Lord, just show me a sign that this is right. God said, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait for the sign. It's going to come after the fact. And sometimes that's the way it works for us, right? We don't understand why things are going on in our lives, but sometimes after we get through the situation, we see. We see what has happened, why it's has taken place. So, 13. Moses said, so here's Moses' response to God. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Now I'm just trying to think what Moses would have thought about this. And when God says, okay, tell them, I am has sent you. That doesn't sound rough enough, does it? That doesn't sound very convincing in my mind. I mean, you would think he would say something like, okay, say the Terminator has sent you, or, you know, something big and strong and mighty. But he just says, tell them, I am has sent you. And I don't know, but to me, one of the points here is, this back and forth between Moses and God. God says, I want you to go to the Israelites. Moses says, but I. And Moses said, and God says, no, but I. And then Moses says, but what if? And God says, what? But I. I am. You're not. I am. I'm going to be with you, but I'm the one that's sending you. And you cannot do this on your own. In fact, if Moses tries to do it on his own, and a lot of times like us, when we try to do it on our own, what are we very capable of doing? Failing, messing it up. But God says, I am. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to carry you through with this process. So 16, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and so forth, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then, the elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, is met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. I know the message title is, Here's Your Call. And this is the call on Moses' life to go back to Egypt to rescue the Israelite people. But we could have added something else to that. Here's your call, and it's not going to go well. Who wants to sign up? I mean, isn't that the case sometimes, though, even for our lives? God has called us to this great mission, this mission field of people to go share the gospel with. But we're like Moses. I can't speak well. I don't know what to say. What if they ask me a question I can't answer? I'm slow with my speech. I can't think fast enough. We can come up with all sorts of excuses. But yet God has made this call on our lives, and he's pretty much said, that's what's going to happen. It may not go well. Or in a lot of cases, it's not going to go well, at least initially. And so we have Moses with this call by God, and up front he's saying, it's going to be tough. It's not going to go very well, at least initially. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all, I think I picked up or did I not? Yeah. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward his people so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. And so we're going to go on into chapter 4 and just listen to some of these signs that, because Moses is still questioning his ability here. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? So, man, he's just coming up with more and more questions, you know, trying to figure out a way. Is there any way I can get out of this? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff? He replied, the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. I can just picture this, can't you? Because I think that's what I would probably do. I would throw that staff on the ground and it turns into a snake and man, he's out of there. He doesn't want anything to do with that snake that's on the ground. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. I would be there. In fact, there was a little snake in the office last summer, I think. Little bitty thing. And I think it probably took me 20 minutes to get up enough nerve to grab it behind the head and get it out of the office. And so Moses, I mean, he doesn't want anything to do with this. But Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and it turned back into the staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand into your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak. When he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Now Moses is, in my mind, has had this little dialogue still going through his mind, trying to find reasons as to why he can't do this. Verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. We're not exactly sure, but probably had a little bit of a heavy tongue, couldn't speak real clear. So, All the while he's doing these signs, he's still thinking, okay, how can I get out of this? The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So even in the midst of Moses questioning, the Lord has to remind Moses, who made the mouth? Who made people speak? Who made people deaf? Who makes people hear? God himself does. He's not putting up with any Moses nonsense. He just says, go again. And so, but Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if you he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. So it doesn't seem to matter how many excuses Moses comes up with, and he comes up with a bunch and he keeps coming up with more. God is reminding him who's in charge here. I am. God is. And he's going to walk with Moses using Aaron to accomplish what he wants to happen. And I think the same is true for our lives. I mean, so often we question God. We think, God, I can't do what you're calling me to do. I don't. And sometimes we just flat say, I don't want to. Get someone else. But God walks with us. He says, I am with you. I am. I'm not, if we had to rely on our abilities, we would mess it up. But we know when God is walking with us, he gives us what's necessary to accomplish his purposes. And even if we mess up, that's why Jesus came into the world. He came into the world to forgive us and to assure us that he's always with us. And when we mess up, it's pretty much God saying, okay, so you messed up. Does he say give up? No. He says go again. Get up and go again and bring the message of Jesus to the people who are hurting in the world. That is our call, to be witnesses of who Jesus is in our life. Let's pray. Lord, we do struggle a lot of times with the places that you place us in, and Lord, the call that you've placed on our life. We ask that you would give us the ability to be your witnesses and Lord, to just rely on you, understanding that in those moments, in those times, that you will certainly give us words to say. And maybe sometimes it's not words. Maybe it's just our actions. Maybe it's just holding someone or listening to someone that's struggling. We ask that you would give us those moments and opportunities to be a witness of who you are in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.